Psalm 18, 48. Now we've talked about where the man, what is a man, the marks of a man, the making of a man, and the measure of a man. And I just got this one, and I think maybe one more that I want to talk about. But this morning we're going to talk about the enemies of manhood. And there are some. There's a lot of them. But we're going to hit a few this morning. Psalm 18:48. Seth had you to stand, so I won't have you stand again. Bible says there, "He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man." Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the songs and thank you for all we've seen and felt this morning in the house of God already. Pray you'd bless your word now that it might have free course. Lord, I pray your unction upon it. Pray the devil be bound and all the evil ones who would fight against and contradict these truths, I pray that they'd be hushed this morning and not allowed any freedom in this service at all. Pray everybody listen and take it in and remember it, and that it would be a help and a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what happens to men? And why are there no men to be found? We've looked at what a man is and what makes a man and all these that I just mentioned, the marks of a man and the measure of a man, but what is it that's making them so scarce? You know, we've covered a lot of different things. I've said a lot of things as the reasons why, but I think we need to be a little more specific about it this morning. I'm going to tell you there are forces at work that are determined to destroy manhood and masculinity. I mean, that ought to be obvious to you this morning, that you're living in a society, especially this one. I think that our country's worse than any of the others in the world, apparently. It's what it's looking like in this matter. Manhood is despised and fought against and put down and made fun of and mocked and resisted. And it's just about non-existent. They about won the battle. About done it. These are things, there are things that hinder and prevent the development of manhood. I've mentioned a few of those, and the making of a man and all that. But then there are things that destroy manhood in its development or even in its maturity. There are things that destroy a man in the making. There are things that destroy a man who's already made. Yes, sir, buddy. You ain't never attained to safety where you're not going to be affected. And where you can't be touched or brought down. Like always, there's a lot more to say and many more things involved than what I'm going to be able to cover here this morning, but I'm going to try to talk about what I think are the most common and the most dangerous enemies of manhood. Now, the first one that I want to mention, I've got one of my verses out of place here and it's throwing me off here. But let me just touch on this to start with. One of the biggest things that is destroying men in the making now is the fact, are you listening, that they just won't grow up. Prolonged adolescence. I've saw this for years and years. Boys get stuck in adolescence. And you see 25-year-old men acting like 12, 13-year-old boys. They have the mentality, the mindset. Their life is built around the lifestyle of a 12, 13-year-old boy. They can't never grow up. They don't ever come out of it. They're just stuck in that awkward age where they don't fit in anywhere, where they don't know what to do with themselves, and they're not a man, but they're not a boy, and they don't know what to do. And so they just goof off. And other times, let me tell you, boys were put to work and given responsibilities early in their lives. And that's a big issue, a big important element in this, responsibility. Man has to have responsibility. And if he doesn't have it when he's a boy, he's not going to carry it when he's a man. He's not going to be a man. He's going to be a big old overgrown boy that somebody else has to take care of. In these times when men are absent from our society, boys are only expected to play games, to watch TV, to stay out of the way, and to not bear responsibility. Ain't that right? You don't trust them. That's why that boys are overlooked and responsibility is given to girls instead. Because boys won't do it. You know, a boy has to be forced a little bit. He needs to be kicked in the seat of the pants once in a while. He needs to be shoved a little and made to do stuff. Instead of sweet-talked and bribed and threatened and all of that. Every once in a while, he needs a little bit of brute force on him. It never hurts a boy to be woke up and shook to life like that. It's not abuse. It's making a man instead of a effeminate, useless slug on society that's going to destroy lives and ruin everybody's life who he touches. You're going to prevent that with a little bit of medicine early on. When boys don't learn to shoulder responsibility early in their life, they're adverse to it later on in their life. They got to be taught from the time that they are small, that bearing responsibility earns honor and respect from others and prepares them to be a man. They need to learn that. They need to learn what it feels like to be responsible for something and to be faithful and do it, and other people know that he did what he was supposed to. He's faithful. You can count on him. Trustworthiness. Boys should be taught from a child to take responsibility, not wait for it to be given or forced upon them. You know, a boy ought to be taught, and a girl too, for that matter. Children ought to be taught to do what's needed to be done, to look and see what needs to be done and just do it without standing there with their hands in their pocket waiting on, take out the trash. You know, I mean, the trash has to be taken out. You walk by and it's full, do it. Don't wait until somebody makes you do it. Take responsibility. You'll never be a man until you take responsibility. You're not a man if somebody has to force you to be responsible for everything. And somebody has to remind you about everything. And somebody has to make you do everything that you should be responsible to do. Amen. That's why the banks have so much trouble nowadays. You know, I don't understand this modern generation that don't understand that a payment's due on a certain day, and that's the day it's due. It ain't due when it's overdue. It's due on the day that it's due. When you take out a loan, they say, this is the due date. Pay your payment by that date. Don't wait until they're just ready one more day, and they're going to put a mark on your credit rating. That ain't the due date. But we're living in a generation that feels like that's the way it is. You know, and everybody has a hard time and everybody has things to deal with. And sometimes I know how that is. But responsibility is what we're talking about here. Be responsible. Don't be where somebody has to force you to do it. Don't be where they're fixing to take it away from you before you give them another dime. That ain't no way to live. And that ain't no man. That ain't no responsible man. That's poor character. Our society, on one hand, demands that men be responsible. Do y'all know that? When there's a man and a wife and they have children and they divorce, who has to pay child support? Why is that? I thought we were all equal. I thought everything was divided up equal, even. I thought everybody was the same. Well, if a man marries a wife and she's a housewife for years and then they divorce, what's this deal? He's supposed to pay her so much a month and support her the rest of his life? when she is supposed to be independent and self-supporting and she's, you know, I mean, she's, what is the deal? Here's the deal. Men are responsible, and even in this upside down, ungodly, untoward generation that we live in, they still hold the man responsible ultimately. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the way it is. So, they on one hand demand that a man be responsible, but on the other hand, they prevent him from doing it. They're expected to prevent bad people from doing bad things, but they're blamed and held accountable for what their wives and children do, but they're not allowed the authority to accomplish this, to stop them from doing it. They can't tell them what to do. They can't stop them. They have no authority, but they're held responsible. It's kind of like what they do with the school teachers. The school teachers can't get a paddle and bust a kid's rear end like they did when I was in school. But they're supposed to make them behave and maintain order in the class. Now, how do you do that? When the kid's sitting there and says, "You can't touch me," what are you going to do? How are you going to say, "What you got left?" All you got left is, "You better not, you better not, you stop it, stop it." And they just mock and laugh. And that's the way it is with this deal. Man's responsible, but he's not got any authority. What does that make a man do? Well, I'll tell you what it makes him do. Read the news. When you read about a man, somebody went in and shot a woman and a bunch of kids and another man, does it take any bright Einstein to figure out what's going on there? Some man's wife shacking with some other joker, and this man's kids with that wife, and the court says, "You got to pay her money to feed that low life that's with her and take care of the whole thing." That's what's going on. And that's what causes a man to go get a gun and say, "This ain't going to happen." A man has got a hard way to go in this society. Dangers to manhood, enemies of manhood. This is what we're talking about right here. You're responsible, but you're not, you don't have no authority. You're responsible and you better make it happen, but you can't make it happen. If you put your hand to it to make it happen, then you're in trouble there too. So that's the kind of society we're living in. Because of the negative attitude toward men who exercise authority and responsibility, many boys shun it to avoid conflict. You know, when a man steps out there, just even like I'm doing this morning preaching this. I mean, there's people that just despise it, boy. They hate to hear it. What was that deal you was showing me the other day? That guy was on the Sean Hannity show, and he was... Boy, you talk about a mad woman. Woo, was she mad. He told her she would be much happier if she'd stay at home with a husband and some children. And, you know, and boy, that made her mad, fighting mad for a man to say such things. He was right. Here's an old boy that agrees with him. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Do y'all know that? That you older women are to teach the younger women to be keepers at home and to love your children and to love your husband. That's God's order. But that woman didn't want no husband, and she don't want no children, and she wants to have a career and be something else. And she's miserable and bitter and hateful toward everything and everybody, and that's what he told her. He said, "You wouldn't be near as bitter and miserable if you'd just get you a husband and love him and stay at home and have children." Boy, was she mad. She was spitting nails, I'm telling you. It didn't faze him one bit. He just kept spitting it out faster at her than she could swallow it. And it's good when you're right. And that's what you need to hear this morning. And just stay calm. I wish everybody listened to the whole thing. Because I'm not, you know, when I say things like that, you think, "Boy, he's just one of them macho, male chauvinist pig." You know, I said to some woman one time, I said, "If you can call me a male chauvinist pig, how come I can't call you a female chauvinist sow? How would that go?" Well, that don't sound too nice, does it? But turned around the other way, anything goes toward the men. You can say anything. You can say any vulgar, profane, cut down thing. But buddy, it better not be turned around just same way. What's the difference? Call me a pig? Well, if you call me a pig, I might call you a sow. Just be nice to me and I'll be nice to you. Be civil to me and talk to me like a human and I'll treat you like a lady and talk to you like a lady. Amen. All right. Well, let's move along here. The great mark of a boy becoming a man is when he begins to shoulder responsibility. That's when you know they're growing up. That's when you know they're becoming mature and thinking like a man, when they start shouldering responsibility. When they start taking it and doing it. Doing what they're supposed to, when they're supposed to, and being faithful at it. That's when you know that they're beginning to grow up. When he takes responsibility for his own behavior. And quits blaming it on somebody else. When he takes responsibility for his own affairs, his money, his relationships, and all of that. And quits blaming it on somebody else. Or finding fault with somebody else because of his problems. When he starts taking responsibility. That's when he's on his way to becoming a man. When he starts taking responsibility for others. When he begins to prepare himself and to get a to get in a position where he can provide for a family of his own. When he starts thinking about being a man who provides for a wife and a family. When he starts thinking about himself being somebody that can take care of other people instead of somebody taking care of him all the time. Somebody always meeting his needs and doing what he needs and giving to him. When he stops living like that, a child, that's a child. That little baby back there, that's all she does. She waits for somebody to put the milk in her mouth, to change her diaper, to put her clothes on, to give her a bath, to pick her up, to make her happy. She depends on somebody else for everything. And that's a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Isn't that what the Bible said, Paul said? Yeah. So when you stop thinking about yourself and you start thinking about others, about me having a family, me having a wife, me having a home, a job, and things that I have to take care of, that's when a boy starts becoming a man, is when he starts taking responsibility. Now, y'all understand that? Simple. Very simple. Grow up. Quit being a child. That's one of the enemies of manhood, is not growing up. And not growing up is when you won't take responsibility. Now, when a boy grows up, he'll quit living to play with toys. Boys play with toys. And most men are just big, overgrown boys who still play with their toys. They just have more expensive toys to play with. That's right. Ain't it? That's the truth. Hope you can understand this. They live to be able to buy some other new toy. Not to provide for their family or the future, their wife or their children that they're responsible for. They're saving up to buy another gun, another four-wheeler, another truck, a boat, something. On and on. How many more could we go? Yeah. There's nothing manly about playing with toys, no matter how big they are, no matter how impressive they are. It's a distraction. It's a thing that takes away from your manhood. It don't add to it. When you got some hobby, something, some fascination, something that you're just all caught up in that keeps you keeps all your money drained off somewhere else. That's right. They live to be able to buy another toy. Well, one of the great enemies of manhood, which is keeping boys from becoming men, is just refusing to grow up and to quit being a boy. It's comfortable there, where everything's still imaginary. Little boys play imagination. All children do, but little boys play their imaginary games. They live in imaginary worlds. Everything's dream, you know, it's all a fantasy that they just make up in their own mind, and they're always a hero and they're always going to do great things and conquer great things, but it's all imagination.
You got to come out of that and start living in the real world. At some point, you're going to be cast out of that one way or another. Unless you're just mentally not all there and you end up in a home like some of them up there where Esther works. That's right. People like that are not whole. They're not right. And, you know, they can't help it. They got problems that make them that way. But if you're healthy and whole and you're still a boy in a man's body, y'all be ashamed of yourself. And y'all to grow up. And y'all to quit being a child in your mind and living in fantasy land and dreams and all that. It's comfortable there, but you need to come out of that comfortable place and be a man. He can continue to dream about what he's going to be someday or going to do someday when he grows up. I've asked some grown men before, what are you going to do when you grow up? What are you going to be when you grow up? Just to see what they'd say. Ha ha ha. Funny. It's a legitimate question. Somebody else bears the responsibility and burdens of making sure that everything keeps working, so he doesn't have to. It's one of the things that really bothers me about today, and it bothers a lot of other people too. Boys now do not know how to fix anything. You know, everybody used to know how to fix stuff. I mean, something broke, you didn't just abandon it. You fixed it. And now nobody knows how to do nothing. I mean, if it breaks, that's it. Done. That's gone. We can't use that no more. It quit working. Boys don't even know how to check the oil in their car. They don't know how to change the tire. They don't know how to fix anything that goes wrong in it. Well, when I was a pretty older teenager, I didn't either, but I learned. You know how I learned? Necessity. Yeah. Laying out in the woods in the mud under some truck that wouldn't run or something like that and doing it the hard way. You ought to learn. You ought to apply yourself to learn. Let me go. I don't want to get hung up on things here. This is a matter, but as long as you're a boy and somebody else takes care of everything, what's the need of growing up? I'm pointing out to you, these are enemies of manhood, and this is a big one. You don't grow up. It's a matter that the devil and this evil world have worked hard to reinforce and establish to keep boys from becoming men. All right, now that's all I'm going to say about that. Now I want to say something about another danger. Another enemy of manhood is men that overshoot the mark on masculinity. These macho men that are so tough and rough and bad to the bone. I mean, they're killers. They're rough. You better not mess with them. They're the kind that just puts everybody in fear everywhere they go. I mean, feminism is the response to that. Y'all hear me? Yes. Feminism, radical feminism that we're so hard on, these women that are so far out there that it's ridiculous in their opposition to men and manhood, and that's because of men being so far out there on their macho stuff. A man does not have to prove himself by being and showing how tough and rough he is. Those who remain in adolescence are most apt to do this. That's why, and you know, you can get mad at me if you want to, but I do not care. All this gym, everybody goes to the gym. Everybody goes to the gym. They only go to the gym because they can flex their little puny muscles at each other or watch the women do it, you know. Men and women both go to them gyms, and it's just another place for iniquity to breed. And it's where a place where a boy that ain't a man, in any sense of the word, can go there and try to make himself feel like a man. It's a substitute. And it's a way to pretend that you're tough. Why don't you get out there and get a job? Digging a ditch or something, see how tough you really are. Why don't you come with me to the Logwoods? I'd like to take you out there and follow me around a little bit. We'll see how tough you are. I'd like to take all these gym boys, just one of them, out with me. I would. And get a stick and poke him in the rear end and make him go. Make him go without stopping. And see how tough He really is. They're not tough. They just want to act tough. And that's an enemy of manhood. Let me tell you something. If you got to act tough, you ain't tough. I told one of the boys the other day, I said, everybody, every man that acts like he's so tough is not tough. And every bully is a coward. Yes, sir. You can mark that down, buddy. Somebody that's running around bullying people and I'm running his mouth. If he's running his mouth, he ain't got nothing to back it up with. You can mark it down. That's right. This idea that manhood's being tough and violent and running over everybody and everything that gets in your way by force. Rambo types considered the classic example of what a man should be. That destroys the true concept of godly manhood and replaces it with a distorted view. And when a boy adopts that concept of being a man and tries to be that kind of a man, he destroys everything around him. If he gets a wife, he destroys her. Yes, sir. Those are the kind of men that beat their wives and treat them like dirt and subject them to abuse. They're not the kind that love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for them. He's not like that. Not these tough guys. This is one of the enemies of manhood. That you get that men, boys are taught by men to feel like they've got to just overdo it. I mean, they've just got to raise everything to the ground everywhere they go to prove they're a man. Or to maintain their manhood. And it does, that destroys it more than a lot of other things. If he has children, he destroys them. Because that's not the kind of father they need. That's not the kind of a husband that a wife needs. She don't need some bully, some big mouth tough guy that's always going around, going to whoop everybody and going to straighten everybody out. Nobody going to put one over on him. Nah, nah, nah. She don't need some jerk like that. And the children don't need some jerk like that for a father. He's going to destroy everything around him. That kind of idea about manhood destroys everything. He's got to always be looking for new friends because nobody is his friend for long when he's a bully and he's violent and he's always on the attack. He ain't going to have no friends for long. A true godly man doesn't have to use physical force to influence people and correct all problems. Now, it is an option, but it's the last and the final option, not his first instinct. Y'all listening? It is an option. That's just the fact of life. That's the way it is. When it comes right down to it, and there's no other way, it's just like war. We don't want to fight a war. Nobody wants to fight a war, but it is inevitable when it comes down to the final straw. You got to fight or it's all lost and we all die. And that's the way it is with this too. The word force in the Bible, I just looked it up this morning and I ran through so many verses and I thought, man, I can't put all them verses in there and read all them verses. But let me just tell you this, look it up yourself. The word force in the Bible, when it's referring to men using force on other people, it's almost always referring to wicked men imposing their will on others unjustly. Look that up. Man, I was surprised. I didn't expect to see that. But in first, let me just give you three verses. In Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 16, Eli's wicked sons, you remember how they laid with the women at the gate of the temple and they stole from the sacrifices and all that? Listen to this. And if a man said unto him, one of Eli's sons, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desire, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. That's what Eli's sons, who were acting as priests, that's the way they treated the people. You give it to me, or I'm going to take it by force. Now that's the macho man. That's the way he does. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 4. This is God's charge to Israel, who was apostate and away from God. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick,
Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. That's wicked, ungodly people that God's fixing to judge. That's the way they deal with their problems. You got a little fat guy over in North Korea. He's one of them. See? He weighs 300 pounds. They say he gained 70 pounds in the last year, and he's telling his people they're going to have to eat roots because he's got to spend all the money on missiles and fireworks shows for himself and food for himself. Always going to bomb somebody. Always going to kill somebody. Always going to show everybody. He's one of them. Yeah. There's a lot of them we could talk about. Here's another verse. Ezra chapter 4, verse 23. Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companion, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. They were building the wall in the temple, and they went up there and made them stop by force. So you see, force being used that way in the Bible is most of the time referring to wicked men. So godly men, force is a last resort. It's not their first instinct. It's not what they do. It's not how they control the things around them. It's not how they overcome all their problems. And it's not how they win and influence people. You don't win and influence people by beating them into submission physically. Men who are like this are not governed by the Spirit of God, neither by the Word of God, but by their own selfish interests and lusts. Therefore, their manhood is destroyed, and they're a very negative influence on other men and boys. That's why I'm saying enemies of manhood, not growing up, and this macho idea of manhood. It's an enemy of true manhood. This run over them attitude is so offensive and ungodly that it causes women to have a negative attitude toward men in general and to have a distorted view of what a man really should be. They think all men are like that. Well, all men are not like that. And all men certainly shouldn't be like that. That's not godliness. It's not what God has ordained and God created and God planned for this thing. The knee-jerk reaction from women is to just neutralize him and cut him out of all areas where he has any control. These macho guys, if you just watch them, man, if you live long enough to watch things play out, they end up alone and exiled and cut out of everything. They don't end up in control of everything. I was watching a deal the other day about Israel bombing Iraq's nuclear deal, and there's old Saddam Hussein, I mean, strutting around all over the world, a lighting his cigar and a smile, and that smile, and a boy running over everybody, and you know how he was, killing people and running them through wood chippers and everything else, and pulled out a gun and shot one of his staff right there at a table because he disagreed with him one day, and just shot him in the head right there at the table, carried him out. Tough guy, boy, tough guy. But I seen him sprawled out on the ground with his neck all stretched out where they hung him. Some of these upstarts that are in authority now that think they're so high and mighty and have no regard for anybody else's feelings, lives, anything, they better take heed also. Macho men who force their way upon everybody else do not end well. Their end is not good. Now then, there's another thing that's an enemy of manhood. And I wasn't lying, Kim. This is it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 36, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." One of the dangers, one of the enemies of manhood, of a man, of a boy becoming a real godly man like God means for him to be, is his own home. A man's own home can be the destruction of his manhood. Now, would you just please listen to me for a few minutes here? Micah chapter 7 and verse 6. Wait a minute, that other verse here. There it is, okay. Micah verse 7, chapter 7, verse 6. "For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother, The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 10. He was really quoting out of Micah chapter 7. What does that sound like? Son dishonors his father. A daughter rises up against her mother. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Sounds like strife and discord. Fussing and fighting. And everybody against one another. And everybody struggling against one another at home. This is a bad enemy of manhood. Discord in the family is the undoing of the man who's the head of that family. The son dishonoreth the father. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. That ought to be sobering words. Proverbs 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. And the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. A man's foes may be those of his own household. Do you understand that? Do you understand how that can affect a man? Can you understand what that does to a man? All that we've talked about in the making of a man and what it takes and the adversity that he faces and all that it takes, the time that's put into it to make him a man, and then this. He takes responsibility. He grows up out of his childhood and acts like a man. And he has a wife and he has children, and then this happens. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. You see, that's the contrary. That's how it can be, but this is how it might be too. It might be a calamity, but it might be a blessing. After investing years of love and labor and blood and sweat and tears and time into a son, and then be rewarded with shame and reproach and ingratitude, it's the undoing of a man. Very few men can endure that. Y'all hear me? They just can't. Whatever else might have been involved in the boy becoming a fool instead of a man, his father will blame himself, and he'll have little or no confidence in his own manhood and will feel like a failure. Proverbs 27, verse 11. My son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him that reproacheth me. Children of thy youth, you know, happy as a man to have his quiver full of them, they'll be like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Arrows in the hand of a mighty man, warrior. Arrows. What is that? It's like having a gun with bullets in it. And you're in a war. Having children that are foolish is like having no gun and no bullets. Or having a gun with no bullets. You have no answer. People can reproach you. They can say, boy, your religion didn't work very good. Boy, all of your way of raising kids that you thought was right wasn't so good, was it? And you see, it's a funny thing how it works, because people who are lax and they don't have any standards, they let their kids go anywhere, do anything, hang out with anybody. They don't require anything of them. And their kids grow up in the world and sometimes turn out better because nothing was barred from them. Yeah.
That's because there's a real warfare between good and evil going on. And just because they turned out better, and I mean by that they're accepted in the world and successful as far as the world goes, what about their soul, man? Don't tell me that it's not, that that's the way to go. Just don't require nothing of them. Just let them do as they please. Let them find their own way. Go out and plant your garden that way. See how it works for you this summer. And you, it's a shame that you'd plant, that you'd give more attention and have more understanding about your garden than you do at your own children. Children have to be raised and taught, and they have to be kept from evil until they're able to deal with it themselves. My son, be wise, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. Ain't that kind of pitiful? The father begging his children to do that, not his son, be wise. Because people are going to reproach me. And if you grow up and you're wise, then I've got an answer. And there's just more I'd like to say about that. I'm going to hurry on here. The daughter riseth up against her mother. Instead of peace, there's discord and strife in the home. And that's what's going on most of the time in most homes. People just fight and fuss and quarrel and bicker and carry on. And that's why they come to church. And, you know, through the years, you know, I mean, I've heard so many stories and seen them myself. We've experienced the same thing, you know, but everybody fight all the way to church and then come in the door. Hi, yes, how are you? You know, just like, well. And they just get out of the car and slam the door after cussing one another out. Some of them really did. Men are most important. And if wives and sons and daughters want to find out what life is like without them, you listening to me? Just go ahead. Just go ahead and destroy the home with strife and fighting and bickering. He'll eventually just give it up and either leave or he'll seclude himself and let it burn to the ground. You hear me? Yeah. What's all this man cave stuff? What's a place for man to just get away from all this mess? It's a little place where he can just go and act like macho. You know, he can watch his boxing. He can watch his fighting, whatever they do. Drink his beer, whatever. Just a place where he can get away from everybody else. Man cave. I wonder how many men are in man caves. See, that makes me so popular and everybody likes me so well. Those of a man's own household are one of the great dangers that can destroy a man. Boy, listen, I'm telling you the truth this morning. One more thing, and it's the biggie. It's the biggest one of all of them. The greatest danger of all to manhood is an ungodly woman. Micah chapter 7, verse 8 through 10. I never noticed this until we were in Mexico and reading this in Spanish. This verse, you can tell the gender from the verse. It said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy." Well, that word right there, you know it's a female by the way it's written in Spanish. But you don't have to know that to know this is a woman. Listen. "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it. And shame shall cover her which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets."
The most common thing in the Word of God that destroyed great men was women. We could start with Adam, couldn't we? We could go on and we could talk about all of them through the whole Bible, but I'm trying to hurry here, so I won't do that, but my goodness, we could talk about just about all of them, couldn't we? Moses had women troubles. Joseph ended up in prison for years and years and years because of a woman that he would not submit to, her iniquity and ungodliness. David certainly had a big problem. Solomon, it ruined Solomon. The wisest man who ever lived, women were his ruination. All the kings of Israel, women were the big deal. What about Samson? Do you remember about Samson? What was his problem? Women. Not just one. He had a series of them. The greatest weakness that a man has is a woman. A woman alone has access to the greatest vulnerability that a man has. And I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about a man is vulnerable to a woman, not only physically, but emotionally as well. You know, David sinned with Bathsheba. You know, I hope that you realize that that didn't happen because of one glance at a woman across the way bathing herself. If you just study your Bible, you could see that they were well acquainted and the families were intertwined, and her husband was one of David's 30 mighty men, and they knew one another. Her grandfather was one of David's most trusted counselors, Ahithophel, and they knew one another. And there was much more happened to cause all that than just that one glance. David wasn't a man that could be brought down with one glance at a woman in a bikini or whatever. No. It's not just that. A woman has access to the most vulnerable part of a man. A man has a great need for a woman's companionship and support. And a man has a great need for a woman to protect and to provide for and be his most intimate friend. A man has a need for that. You young guys, you're thinking about a wife. You're thinking about getting married one of these days. You think about women. Don't tell me no different. I mean, if you don't, just stay away from me. I don't want you close to me, and I don't want you sneezing in my presence or nothing. Something wrong with you. But it's the natural thing. But it's when you're the most vulnerable. Boy, man, listen to me. This will destroy you as a man. Most likely, this will be it. You boys, listen to me. This will be it. You'll fall for it. Just like millions upon millions and generations upon generations have done. Like kings and mighty men and some of the greatest men that ever lived have fell for it. You'll fall for it too. In spite of the fact that somebody's sitting here right now reading a scripture to you and telling you and warning you and saying, be careful and don't do it. You'll do it anyway. You'll fall for it. She'll say the right things. She knows the way in. She knows what you want to hear. She knows what you're looking for instinctively. She may be the most vile feminist that ever lived, but she knows how to act like a lady if she needs to get what she wants, because she knows what she knows how to bait you and how to trick you. And your great need for that will make you fall for it, and you'll be easily drawn in. When a woman pretends to be any of these things to a man, he's hard-pressed to keep her out of his heart. And this is what happens. A man is convinced that a woman he has found is going to be all this to him. She's going to be, I've heard it so many times, it makes me want to just throw up at the people I've listened to. Some of my own kids and others, boys. Oh, she's the one, Dad. You just don't understand. She's perfect. She's just what I want. And she's not like you think she is. No, no, no.
But everybody else looking on can know, but you don't, dummy. They said love is blind, but it's deaf and dumb and stupid too. That's right. And it ain't love anyway. I mean, it's lust. Lust makes you blind. And you don't see what everybody else is seeing. And because she acts the way she's acting right now, because she said the things she said right now, you're just swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. And it's your undoing. You marry wrong, you're wrong all your life. You can't never fix it. You can get divorced and marry somebody else. But there's problems. And anybody that's ever done it would say, amen, that is right. It's right. It don't mean that you can't go on living. And it don't mean there ain't forgiveness. And it don't mean that you can't go on and have a life. But it's better to do it God's way. And not mess up in the first place. Man. Don't y'all, I mean, ain't everybody here that's old enough to know anything, ain't you either experienced it yourself or ain't you seen other people that are in such a miserable marriage that they just don't know what in the world to do? Ain't you? Brother Parker said one time, and it's really true, it's better to be lonely than brokenhearted. And it is. People get married in under all that deceit. And then they got to have children, and they have children. And then it's just, man, very complicated. And you can't undo it. When a woman pretends to be any of those things, a man will fall for it every time. And that's what happens. A man's convinced that the woman he's found is going to be all these things to him. But the woman who is not a child of God has she can be very deceitful and is only about selfishness, like all sinners. When Brother Wills and them come up there in 1986 with that girl's home from down there in Mississippi, you know, and all that, we learned some things through all of that deal. And I've been around different homes through the years that we've known different people in around the country that runs these children's homes for these wayward kids and stuff. And you know what? I have learned from them, and every one of them will tell you the same thing. You just ask them. It is much easier to deal with boys than it is with girls. Why? Because girls can be so much more deceitful. Say, boys can't lie? Yeah, boys can. Boys can lie, and they can be deceitful. But nobody cares about an old ugly boy. But a little old pretty girl that's just so sweet. I mean, how could she be? You women just don't understand. Men don't. Your looks and appearance carry more weight. Somehow. That's how come boys are so easily deceived. I mean, you can paint it up a little bit and look good, and that's good. It don't matter. I mean, you could have a knife behind your back and they'd still fall for it. And it's just hard to get a grasp on that this sweet little thing could be so devious and deceitful. But they can, buddy. And boys just can't contain their emotions and stuff. I mean, if they're mad, they're mad. And if they're going to do something, they're just going to do it. But a girl can wait it out. And she can plan and work on people. And you think that's chauvinist? No, I'm just telling you the facts of life. And I'm telling you about the dangers of manhood and the enemies of manhood and what you're facing. And you guys back there on that back row, sitting back there, and, you know, here's little Wyatt coming up. Boy, I hope you're listening, Wyatt. Hope you remember these things. I know you ain't too interested right now, but he thinks girls all have cooties right now. He's safe. But it's going to change. Oh, mercy. Her ways are movable, the Bible says. Do you know what that means?
She can be whatever she wants to be, whatever she needs to be, she can be that in order to get what she wants. Do you think that old ugly Donald Trump would be married to that woman he's married to if he didn't have billions of dollars? Do you? I mean, if he was a plumber in Cincinnati, do you think he'd be married to her? Well, just honest truth. I mean, I think about things like that because I'm looking for truth and reality. And there's you some reality right there. Money will buy women. And good looks and a shapely body will buy a man. That's all it takes. For the simple. That's the third one he's had, by the way. So, money don't buy you happiness. And if you ain't got no money, what do you think you're going to get, boys? Mm-hmm. All right, I want to read you a little bit of scripture here, and then we're going to run it down here, and we're doing real good. We're going to get out of here right close to noon. But lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Greatest enemy of manhood is ungodly women. Proverbs chapter 5, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Are you listening? Her feet go down to hell. Or to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. In other words, unless you would catch on and realize this is a trap, she can fix it so you don't realize it's a trap. She can change whatever she needs to change. I mean, she can act like a modest, you know, little old thing, if she needs to. Have you ever known a woman that had two sides like that? Good and evil? She could be little Miss Goody Two Shoes in church. And everybody thought she was the purest little thing that ever lived. But then you found out about the other side that some of the people know about when she's not so pure. You ever know anybody like that? I have. I've lived long enough to realize the reality of this thing. Everybody ain't what they say they are. Everybody ain't what they portray to be in front of everybody. There's things you can look for and watch for. When I was 18, 19 years old, I was pretty easy to please when it come to girls. But not boy, listen, if I don't think I ever would get married again. If something happened to her. But if I did, I guarantee you one thing, buddy, it'd be a different story. And I'm not downing on her. I'm just saying that I know now. I know, I don't even want to start over again. Man, 40 years almost. Well, 40 years. I've known you 40 years. So I don't even want to start that down. That's too long of a road to come down again. I ain't got time to do that again. And I ain't got the strength and energy and the determination to do it again either. But I wish that somehow, I wish that we had chips, I could just pull it out and plug it into you guys' heads and you'd have it. Instead of sitting up here pleading and mourning and mourning and watching them go over the cliff. Oh my goodness. You want to be a man? You want to have a life that counts? You want to have some satisfaction in life and some peace and some happiness and some rewards and blessings in life? You better be careful here, boys. It'll get you. He's got, well, let me read the rest of this because it says so. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way from far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. What's it going to do to his manhood? What's this little old gal that's looking so sexy and look her lips dropping like honeycombs, and boy, she's so attractive, and he just can't resist her. What's she going to do to him? She's going to destroy his life and his manhood and everything. I mean, he's going to end up, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, when you get old and you look back on your life. I know a couple of old whoremongers that lived their life that way. You ought to see them now. You ought to talk to them now. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. Where'd all that happen at? Hey, where'd all that happen at? Church. Right in the house of God. Yes, sir. Better wake up. Now, let me read this the rest of these other five or six verses here, because this gives the contrast. You know, I don't want to be all negative, because God ain't all negative. Here in Proverbs chapter 5, he gives us that and warns us, and then he gives you this. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and no strangers with thee. You think that marriage ought to be one man, one woman for a lifetime? Yeah, I believe that's what that means right there. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? What's the matter with you? Why would you trade that for that? An ungodly woman destroys a man. A godly woman helps make a man. So an ungodly woman, no matter how sweet she may act, how attractive she might be, she's the greatest enemy of manhood. Now you need to think about that. When you pull up any page on the internet, when you pick up any magazine, when you go anywhere, and that's all you see. That's all that's in front of us every day of our life, everywhere we go. That's all we see. Ain't it, men? It's all you see. Why are they doing that? Don't women have any dignity? Don't they have any self-respect? Why do they want to use that all the time and flaunt that? I thought they wanted to be liberated and free. Why are they still doing that more than ever? Everybody, I see it, I get so sick of looking at news and junk and all the, you know, Instagram and all these movie stars, they get on there and they show, that's how they get on. They show a naked picture of themselves. Well, who wants, I mean, how many naked people you want to see before you know what it looks like? It's all the same. What's different about her and her? Nothing. She ain't got nothing that ain't got. So what's the deal? When are you going to wise up? Quit looking. It's when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. It's what brought down the world in Noah's day. That's what's doing it now. Where are the men? Well, the reason we ain't got many, there's a lot of reasons, but these are the enemies that are destroying men in the making. You boys that are here this morning, there's several of you, you young boys that ain't married, and you're on your way, you know, and I'm a warning you. And I wonder how many of you, I mean, if we run the clock up here 3 to 5 years, I wonder how many of you is going to be moaning
the grief because you've done just what I've warned you about and against this morning. You fell for some little old floozy who just said what you wanted to hear and showed you what you wanted to see just to trap you like a... I read the other day where it said the black widow spider kills her mate within minutes of mating, but a female human stretches it out over 40 to 50 years. Now that's funny, but it ain't really funny because it's true. In a lot of cases. We've given both the things here. You see, there's a girl that'll make your life happy.
That's right.
Yep. And if you'll wait and trust God and pray and walk in wisdom and not fall for that, listen to me, my son. The verses I just read here. Don't go down there where she's at. Don't be wandering around. Don't go looking. Wait. You don't think God in heaven can give you a good wife that'll make you a man? He can save your soul, but he can't do that? Oh, yes, he can. And he will if you'll trust him. But you can argue and say, and you're just an unbeliever. You'll get what you got coming. If you won't trust God, you'll get a woman that don't trust God. And then you're going to have a wrecked life. And you'll never... You listening to me, and I'm going to quit. You'll never be a true man. Remember that. Remember. Okay. Let's stand. She will destroy you. Man, oh man. I just keep getting thoughts because I've got so many things that I remember. Have you ever known or seen a man that was broken? I remember, you know, maybe I shouldn't say things like this, but I remember right here in town, there was a man, and he got married, and he had 3 kids. And then his wife left him. And he come back here, and he lived his life. Until he died, just walking up and down the street and smoking cigarettes. He never had a job. He never done nothing else in his life. He just wasted away. You see, that's what I'm talking about. Enemies of manhood. Wasn't nothing wrong with him physically. He could have went on and been a man, but it did something to him. More than what I'm able to communicate to you this morning. You're just thinking about these superficial things. No, there's things that happen way down deep that break you. And you can't overcome them. And these things are important. Think about it. Yes, sir. We need men. We're desperately in need of men. And we can't afford to lose a one. That's why I'm being so hard on you boys this morning. We need you, and we can't afford to lose you to the devil, to some floozy, some wicked, strange woman, or to your own foolishness for not growing up. We can't afford that. We need all the men we can get, desperately. So grow up and act like a man. Don't act like a feminine man. Act like a man, but don't try to be the tough guy that just runs over everybody. Be a man that's got compassion and feelings and treat people like God does. Yep. And be careful about who you choose for a mate. Father, thank you for your word and pray you bless it now. And Lord, I pray that things would be clear in everybody's mind. I pray that things wouldn't be muddled and confused. Tried to be as clear as I could, but I don't know. I always feel like it's just not, I don't get to the mark. I miss something. I don't get it as clear as I wanted to get it.
But help them to understand, and help us all, Lord, to be on the watch for these enemies that are out to destroy us and wreck not only our lives, but our families and our children. And pray you bless the day. Help us, Lord, as we go about and spend time together. Pray you'd bless service tonight and the fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for these that are here this morning. I pray you'd they'd go away with something in their soul that would help them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Come back tonight and sing with us and eat with us, and we'll have a good time. Amen.